coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Played some of the Van Halen hits. Eddie Van Halen passed away today at the age of 65. We got that news very early in the show. Been battling throat cancer for a long time. Him and Alex started Van Halen, used to doodle that logo over and over and over again on all my notebooks in 7th and 8th grade. It's absolutely outstanding. And it's still great today.
Part of my childhood.
Yes.
Teen years and into the collegiate phase was still a big part of it.
How many times have a game started in an arena with some Van Halen, maybe even as the intro music? DePaul used them for a lot of years introducing their starting lineups. Let's talk to Jesse Rogers about Theo. But you grew up, you're about the same age as us, same sort of, you know, time. How big of a Van Halen fan were you?
I mean, not huge, but enough to be like, wow. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like you just said, the age, Running with the Devil, Jump. I loved it earlier. Not so much now. It's not like I was listening to Van Halen now, but definitely it was part of the my youth for sure.
All right, Jess, we had the Theo press conference yesterday, and Jesse Rogers joining us on the Corona Hotline right now. And Theo left it open still. Do you believe he will be fully invested after the meeting with Tom Ricketts and be here? If you had to pick now, that he will run the team for a full year?
Yes, I do. I do. Now, it might be a little bit more of a equal status with Jed if, in fact, Jed is going to be the guy that takes over, right? I mean, there will be some adjustments. I think Theo sort of intimated that yesterday. It's not just going to be the same exact hierarchy that they had, knowing that he's going to leave. If it's not Jed, there still might be a different vibe over there in terms of maybe Theo doesn't make the final decision on everything since he's moving on. So, yes, I think he'll be there, but the how they operate might be a little different, knowing that he's leaving. It's not often an executive knows he's leaving before he's fired, right? But in this case, we kind of know it and understand it. He has talked often about leaving after a decade, and it's been the open secret in baseball for probably at least a year that he was definitely going to leave, and there was even talk maybe he'd leave this year. But it sounds like he's going to stay. But again, it might be a little different how it all works over there.
With all of this in mind, Jess, do you expect there to be less offseason activity? Or do you think the situation with the front office won't matter when it comes to some of the bigger decisions that need to be made?
No, I don't think it'll matter. In fact, I think Theo wants to make sure that they make the important big decisions when they need to and not like hold it and make it a Jed problem. You know what I mean? So I think he's all invested in that. I think the bigger issue about the offseason is the pandemic and what teams expect revenue-wise going into 21. We know the Cubs don't necessarily expect a full house April 1st. That's going to affect a lot. I mean, all indications are most teams, but definitely the Cubs, are in some financial straits here when it comes to this offseason and spending a lot of money. So I think the big decisions are there to be made, but if it includes adding a lot of payroll, that's not the decision they're gonna make. They're going to go in a different direction, in my opinion.
Do you think that if Jed is running the team, that Jed is, you know, is he Paul McCartney or is he Ringo? Do you know what I mean? Like, you had two greats in the Beatles, and without Theo, is he great or is he okay?
I hate to give you a cop-out answer. It remains to be seen. Look, my point being, Theo is so good, so smart, so organized in this world that he lives in, baseball, that I can't tell you for sure what Jed's going to be, right? I mean, he was a GM in San Diego. Not much success there, but he didn't have a ton of time, came back over here with Theo. So he's certainly capable. He's certainly capable. And I said today to Cap that, look, he may not be the president of baseball operations. They may eliminate that job. I mean, front offices are getting cut everywhere, right? Jobs are getting lost. you don't necessarily need two guys unless two guys are that special. I think Jed and Theo had a special thing going. For all we know, Jed's just going to be the GM and there's going to be no president. We don't know that for sure because it was always a one-man job until recently. So I think that he's certainly capable, but is he got those special, unique qualities that Theo has? I think even Jed would admit he doesn't necessarily. So it's kind of like, yeah, I think he can do the job, but a lot of guys can do the job. Not a lot of guys are as special as Theo was or is.
Have you talked to any of the players or had any contact with them since they got bounced by the Marlins? And has the defiant attitude that we saw kind of come out of the their final series of the regular season with the White Sox kind of simmered a bit?
Yeah, I mean, look, they were hopeful that that series against the White Sox would propel them offensively. And that's the thing about this offense. It's like a wish and a hope every week, right? You're just hoping this, hoping that. There's no consistency. There's no real belief. I'm watching these playoff games, the first three of this next round. There's 10 runs. There's 9 runs. There's 9 runs. All sorts of offense around the league in the playoffs, and the Cubs had nothing. I don't think there's any defiance about it. I don't think there's any arrogance about it. It was all about hope. Yeah, I hope this will propel us. We know we're good. We've done it before. But in terms of real belief, I'm not sure if they were honest and looked in the mirror. They really thought they could win 4 rounds with that offense. I mean, again, it was mostly a hope and a prayer.
You asked Theo the question in the press conference, what was he thinking while they were only scoring 1 run in 18 innings? You were doing the sidelines for ESPN.
And did a fantastic job, I may add.
You were really good. What were you thinking while that was going? Like, I've described to Jesse to friends, like, it. On one hand, it's totally unbelievable. Like, are you kidding me? These guys are only scoring 1 run. And then on the other hand, it's so believable. So what were you thinking?
Yeah, I'm past the unbelievable part and way on to the very predictable part. All of it was very predictable. Losing the Marlins was very predictable, right? I'm not saying I would have put my hard-earned money on it, but all of it was very predictable. And the reason I asked Theo that is because I was in the stands, you know, the first time all year down below doing the sideline. So I have my eye on Jed and Theo. They're watching from behind home plate, back, you know, back a ways, not in the first row or anything, back a ways, like on the standing on the concourse there. And I'm just wondering, what are they thinking? Batter after batter after batter, swing and miss after swing and miss, pop-up after pop-up. It must be so frustrating. It's really the most frustrating thing for someone in uniform or out to watch your team and their inability to even get guys on base, let alone drive them in, because you feel so helpless. So I'm thinking this is very predictable. Now, 3 years ago, I would have said, wow, they just scored 1 run in 2 games against the Marlins. No. This is very predictable. And Theo explained it, man. This year was a little different. They couldn't hit a fastball to save their life.
In the zone.
I've been talking about curveballs and changeups, which they almost never hit these last couple, 3 years. When you add fastballs, there's not many other pitches.
I mean, knuckle curve? We're the best against the knuckle curve.
So the only answer to this is changing it up. Like, Nico Horner is going to get more playing time. You need more hitters like that that obviously have power as well, because, you know, look at these games. It's the home run, you know, teams that hit the home runs that win these playoff games. They're just too susceptible to the same kind of pitching from the right side and the left side. One of the Marlins players said that, not Brandon Kinsler. He's like, we kind of know what they're all about, you know, especially the right-handers. You know, Rizzo will run into one once in a while and Schwarber once in a while. But the right-handers this year especially, very easy to get out, starting with Chris Bryant and working your way down. Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras many times as well.
What did Kinsler have to say after what he did? I mean, again, the Cubs are notorious for being a chirpy team. And when they were able to put them out of their misery in their own building, was there a little bit of extra satisfaction from the Marlins? No,
without a doubt. I mean, it also goes back to this. The guy signed for like 1 year and $3 million. The team that he just pitched for and was probably their best reliever last year didn't want
him back.
I mean, you know how that works.
Yeah.
And here's Theo watching him from behind home plate. Kinsler's probably got an eye on him, right? And he's friends with these guys. Him and Chatwood are close. They were texting some trash talking before the series, and you know, Kinsler wins out, right? Hadn't struck out the side in 7 years, and then does it after giving up that double, gets saves in both, or pitch both games, saving the second one. I mean, his chest was as puffed out as you can imagine.
So Jess, I just named you the new head of baseball ops.
Yeah.
On the north side. your decision. What do you do going forward?
Well, knowing that I've got financial restrictions, and I'm pretty sure they do, I'm going to move Chris Bryant for financial reasons and also because he needs a new change. He needs a new home.
What are you expecting to get in return as the man in charge of business?
Not a ton. Not a ton with 1 year to go. But somebody will grab him and give you something for him, but not a ton. It's 1 year to go. But there are teams that could use him in a one-year playoff run, not a rebuilding team. It's like when the Cardinals traded for Paul Goldschmidt, 1 year remaining. You trade for him, you hope he helps you that year, and he falls in love with your team, and he signs a long-term deal. If Bryant goes to San Diego or Toronto, I've had a couple people suggest some of these teams, that's what you would hope for, and maybe you don't even have the financial wherewithal after 1 year. So that's the way other teams would look at it. It's a one-year deal for $20 million. He might help us win a World Series if he's healthy. But you're giving up a B prospect, something like that.
Wow.
It's just the way it is. And Theo talked about that calculus, that decision-making formula you have. Every year they get closer to free agency, right? You know the value is going to continue to go down and down and down. But the trade-off is maybe you win another one. And let's give credit. They did win a division. They've played six straight years of meaningful September games, but it's just not enough, and they need to change up that thing. So I think Bryant's at the top of the list for his benefit and the team. I think there's a chance Schwarber gets moved. He's going to make about $8, $9, $10 million. Not that that's a ton, but I think those would be the two guys. I think Baez is going to sign a long-term deal. I think Rizzo's back with the option year. He's a leader and still produces. And is actually a hitter that will choke up and do some other things.
You mentioned Contreras, Jesse, earlier. You mentioned Contreras too. If I were to bet on a guy who still has almost peak value, I would bet that maybe this is the year that Contreras gets moved.
Yes, I think you're right. If you ask me, are they 100% completely in love with Wilson Contreras? I would say no. Do they like him? Of course. Is he's got trade value? Of course. But he's a little bit of a hothead. He's not a great base runner. He does some negative things. Now, this year he did pitch frame better, but there are moments where the team, I think, rolls their eyes at Wilson. I'm just saying he's not like future Hall of Famer. We can't touch him, right? That's not the way, in my opinion, they view him, and you can get a lot for him. So, yes, I was going to say Bryant, Schwarber, and then Contreras, who's not the pending free agent, are all trade candidates in my mind. For all I know, David Bodie's going to play third base next year. I thought 2020 was going to be that transition year. Now, they happened to win the division because they came out of the shutdown so well. You give them credit for that. But maybe it's 21 that's going to be that transition year between Theo leaving and this revamped offense. Now, they can still win in some sense because of Hendricks and Darvish. You do need a third pitcher. If it's me, I'd try to sign Trevor Bauer, and you'd be golden for the next few years. But it's easier said than done. And again, I think they have some financial issues. They're going to be cutting payroll.
All right, Jesse, good stuff. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, should be interesting offseason. Talk to you soon.
There you go, Jesse Rogers. So I did a poll question brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And is there any other choice besides grading Theo as an A? Are you being an unappreciative Cubs fan if you take the 9 years in total and grade him anything below an A? We'll discuss that. Take your phone calls, 312-332-3776.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
A lot of Van Halen today. We lost Eddie Van Halen, a legend, one of the greatest all-time guitarists ever, the legendary Van Halen. And Would You Rather is a good one on Van Halen. And don't forget, with the two lead singers, of course, like which version of Van Halen did you like most? So don't forget to get your Would You Rather entries in. We'll do that at about 4:45. So here's an express. You got to get them in express quickly here. I'm trying to say do it quickly is what I'm
saying.
Yeah,
be quick.
Yeah, be quick. And tweet us at Waddle and Sylvie, at TWaddle87. Tweet Black and Abdallah as well.
Get in the Twitter express lane.
Yes, and you can also do it in our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We will read you the best Would You Rather entries at 4:45. But get them in now. You could win a $50 gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. So
what's your web poll question?
Yes, the Toyota Twitter poll question. The Now's the Time sales event going on currently right now at your Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Great Theo Epstein's 9 years as Cubs president. And I didn't even put F on there. First of all, there are only four entries you could put on a Twitter poll question. Vote at Waddle and Sylvie. But like, how could you vote F? I don't even know how people are voting D.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're doing it like either Sox fans or just being contrarians.
Look, it's an A. He's been here how many years? Nine?
9 years.
You got a World Series, three trips to the NLCS. How many trips to the postseason in 9 years?
Five out of the last six, yeah.
I mean, like, look.
The only year you missed was 2019 here from 15 to now.
I'm not going to lie. I expected more, but that's still an A to me. He came to town to win a World Series, and he accomplished that goal, right?
We're right, and there are two. Like, you could say, hey, did Theo mishandle some things? Did the front office mishandle some things? Should they have traded for Justin Verlander? Yes. You know, should they have held on Tommy LaStella? There are different things along the way. Should they have not traded for Quintana and give up Aloy and Cease? There are things that should he, like, again, should he have not made Joe the scapegoat? There are different things that if we zoom in and really look at.
He also hired Joe.
What's that?
He also hired Joe.
He hired Joe.
Yeah.
If you zoom in and go year to year, you could say Theo may have been better here. But then there's the zoom out approach. That, and I just uncovered this while I sent you something today from Facebook. There was something I dug up yesterday from Facebook.
I didn't even know that 2009 you were on Facebook. Was I on Facebook?
This isn't that one, though. This is something different. I'm just telling you about my Facebook memories. That October 5th, yesterday, I had a memory from 12 years ago come up, 2008. And I wrote, October 5th, 2008, Mark Silverman is convinced he will never, in all caps, see a World Series championship from the Cubs in my lifetime. Never, never, never.
Boy, were you wrong.
Right. And that happened right after, remember, the Cubs were swept by the Dodgers. The year before that, they were swept by Arizona. Jim Hendry was the general manager. They didn't even win a damn postseason game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had the best record in the National League that year. So, like, I was so down over what the possibilities could be with the Cubs. And then they bring in Theo, and I'm doing cartwheels. And again, could he, in different years, could he have done different things? But if you would ask the 2008 Mark Silverman, or you ask the 2011 Cubs fan, you know, when he was hired in 2011, 2012, you're going to get one World Series championship, you're going to get three trips to the NLCS, and you're going to get to the postseason in five out of six times. And they're going to call this the golden age of the 150 years of Cubs baseball. If that's not an A, what the hell is?
I'm with you. So, Sylvie, so the first couple of years where you have four consecutive years of under 75 wins, that doesn't factor in at all?
Well, that's when he's doing his best. That's when he's doing his best work, I could argue, Black. Tearing it down was the best part.
So shouldn't you just only grade the championship years then?
No, I'm telling you that trading Ryan Dempster, and when the Atlanta deal falls through, you turn to Texas and you send Ryan Dempster, and who do you get back? You get Kyle Hendricks. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you do tear it down and you make some of the deals and picking the lane itself, because how many years did the Bulls not pick the lane they even wanted to be in, where you just do it halfway? You come in with a plan and you don't. You actually execute the plan by tearing down the foundation that Jim Hendry built. And then you start getting the prospects.
So what was the plan 18, 19, 20 then?
To win the World Series.
Ugh, that was a bad plan.
Listen, my age, your age.
Were they good enough to win the World Series in the last 3 years? They didn't make the playoffs last year.
Right, but they did the last couple of years, and they fell short. We're big time short. So I say, could they have hung? There's a lot of things that you could critique him on. But when you look at the totality of 9 years, I think you've got to look at it differently.
Okay, and an A. Okay, I don't know. Depending on where you went to school, Is it 100 to 90? Is it 100 to 93?
It's not perfect.
Well, I'm just
saying,
like, okay, maybe,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe,
it may not be 100, but it's still an A.
Maybe your scale is 100 to 93. Okay,
giving,
93.
What are you giving him, Black, then? What are you giving him?
Well, I'm just asking because I get it. He got the World Series. He got to a couple of National League Championship Series.
Three.
Yeah. He also had 2 years where they won 60 games.
That was the rebuild portion
of
it.
That's the plan. That's executing the plan.
I get that.
I mean, he didn't take over an organization that was winning 90 games a year.
But if you ask the question, look at 9 years, you look back at 9 years, and half of the time of the 9 years, they are not winning. They're not getting in the playoffs.
Well, but
I get it. There was a plan that was built up over time. I understand that. The point is, if you look back, obviously for most Cup fans, and I assume for you, Sylvie, the juice was worth the squeeze.
Like, if I can't grade these 9 years as an A, I can't do anything in the Cubs' history then and grade them an A.
Well, over a nine-year span, I think you could certainly grade 15-16 as A-pluses. They got farther than anyone thought they would get in 15, and they bounced back in 16, not only just winning in the playoffs, but from the start of the season. They were playing the best regular season baseball we've seen since, what, the 27 Yankees? Like, that's an A-plus. I don't know
again,
if you can give them an A-plus for the rest of it.
Well, that's why with the record, when you're talking about 12 and 13 and 14, if you don't do the plan the right way and tear it all the way down. Well, 19's different because they weren't trying to win. They executed exactly what they wanted to do in 12, 13, and 14. They wanted to be bad. They wanted to get return on the guys they traded, and they wanted to draft and develop.
That was part of the plan.
That's part of it. And then
missing the playoffs in 19 was a part of the plan?
No. I'm going 12, 13, 14. They arrive early in 15. So again, now 4 years in a row, you've done everything and then better. And then 16, you know, and then again, you can find holes with 17, 18, 19, and 20.
So what would have constituted an A for you, Chris?
Well, I'm just saying, you listen to how the plan came together in the years before 15. Maybe Theo should have stuck to that plan after they got to the mountaintop, started to trade off some of the pieces to get more items for the farm system and to replenish what he built up over time instead of holding on to the assets who completely have depreciated. And now we've gotten to this point in this offseason where you can't even trade a Javi Baez for a bag of balls in a turkey club.
I think you could get a turkey club.
Yeah, with bacon.
So what's your grade?
I think it's solid B because it's 9 years, and I'm looking at the total of 9 years.
So, and you've got company, Black. 31.1% agree with you, and they put it a B. We've had over 7,000 votes in a few hours here.
You weren't getting to the postseason in the first 2 years.
That's fine, but
so that's now 7 years.
You sure as hell should have gotten to the postseason last season.
Correct.
You see what I'm saying? Like on the back end,
you missed 1 year, right?
Well, and then what was this year?
You got to the postseason.
Well, in 18, 19, and 20, you did not win a postseason game.
Right.
It's
disappointing.
Yes, hugely.
Okay, but time out here for a second. Some of the responsibility also has to lay at the feet of the players. Like the job of the general manager, the guy is the business ops, he puts together a team. Now, I get it. I mean, he's still ultimately responsible. But if I have a list of guys in 2019, I gave you their stats yesterday, and then they go completely cold in the postseason, like, I can't blame Theo for the plan that they put together
on
that.
But since we're talking grades, if I'm studying for a test, right, and I got an A in 2016 on that test, and then I went to go take the test again, and I studied, and I was like, well, I got a C this time. And then in 2018, I studied the same way, and I was like, all right, well, I got a C again. But you know what? I'm not going to change anything, because I still think that I studied and I got an A before. I'm not going to change anything. And you get a C again, and you have to change something. The problem necessarily, yes, it's the players, but sometimes you got to get new materials. You got to change up your flashcards. You got to
get a new way to study. At the end of your semester.
It adds up to an A.
That's my point.
Even if it's a 92%.
Well, I had a crappy quiz. My quiz stunk. I had the 2018 quiz. I was bad. But you know what? In 2015, 16, and 17, I got A pluses on the major tests. I'm not telling you I got 100, but at the end of the 9-year period, I think it's worth a 93.
And without a doubt, they are in a better situation now going forward than they were when he took over. I won't argue that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm not
they
saying
are
that
in a better situation now, even though it doesn't look great at the moment, than they were back in, what, 2011?
Oh, yeah.
They
yeah,
are way that, better. Yeah. So, like,
Chris, I've lived through so many years of the Cubs patchworking. You know, they used spackle when they needed to demolish the house. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, my God, our wall has been knocked over. Oh, pass the spackle. You know, here, give me a Milton
I use
Bradley.
That to fix my face.
Well, plus, you also need to maybe save this grade until we see how he leaves the Cubs. Because if he leaves it as is, he's leaving them with the worst farm system.
Well, we're saying until now.
Okay,
yeah, the
but
9 years.
We're saying
the 9 years.
But if he decides to leave tomorrow, there's no guarantee that he's sticking around for another
year.
Okay,
well, then we'll change the web poll question to going forward. But the web poll question
has
it fine.
They have the worst farm system in baseball. Right now, they have the worst farm system. It's one of the worst. Sorry.
Sylvie, will you start to change your answer if they miss the playoffs next year?
Like, if it's a 10-year, no, again. Like, I read the 2008 thing. And again, all your criticisms are valid. Like, you could say, 19, why did he make Joe the scapegoat? Hey, instead of trading for Q, why didn't he go get Verlander? Verlander wanted to be a Cub. There are lots of things. But again, with the scale in my brain that I'm using in the 9 years of total, it's still an A. It just is. I can't. And we'll go through it. 312-332-3776. Do you agree with Black and Abdallah that it's a B? It's still very good, but Waddle and I can overlook some of the failures of the last couple of years.
You got a 93.
And it still averages as to an A.
93. 93. On the scale of 93 to 100, it's still an A.
All right. We'll take all your calls next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
You know, talking about the Cubs and Van Halen, we talked about 1984 and Jump. Such a big part of their intro music when they would take the field. Eddie Van Halen today, we're playing a lot of Van Halen, passed away at the age of 65. Passed away of cancer. He's been getting treatments for over 5 years for throat cancer. One of the greatest all-time guitarists. Unmistakable sound.
That's horrible news for sure.
312-332-3776. Talking about what kind of grade you'd give Theo's 9 years. David in Scottsdale wants to interact. David, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. I've been listening, and I agree with all of you. And like, in my mind, so overall, I separated into two categories. I give them 100% A-plus building a baseball infrastructure. So, I mean, like, what he got there, think about it. Jim Hendry had faxes rolled up behind the thing collecting dust. All the scouting reports had coffee stains and were done in pencil. There was no computers. They didn't have Blackberries. They had no systems whatsoever. They didn't even know how to, like, grade talent consistently. And, like, he had to build all that. He had to integrate all that from scratch. So for that half, A+. For the actual talent acquisition and day-to-day operations, I still give him an A. It's probably a 93. The guy had an eye for talent. He went with hitters and athletes when everybody else was going pitching, because he noted that there was a market inefficiency that pitchers break down. He would buy pitchers, and he would draft the best hitters. I mean, be careful what you wish for, and when he's gone, I think we're going to miss him. But, like, that World Series, you know, my grandparents were Cubs fans for 80 years. They never saw it, and I can't imagine how happy they would be. I think you got a little bit of John Paxson in him at the end when he wouldn't give up, you know, some of the guys. And I would say, like, you know, who the hell is Luol Deng? And these guys fizzled out. I think maybe they got complacent with Madden there. But overall, I think he was fantastic.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you, like, in the grand scheme of the 9 years, you know there's always going – no – president of baseball operations go without criticisms. You know what I mean? There's always going to be criticisms. But again, if you just map it out the way they achieved their goal of finally, after 108 years, winning and then and being good each and every year and winning that division, it's pretty damn good. Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're not getting a 99. But if your scale is 100 to 90 is an A, 91, 92.
Then the only ones who are getting 99s are Belichick and Popovich currently. You know what I mean?
Well, I would say the Giants over that same period. Didn't they win three World Series titles?
They won three, yeah.
So, I mean, like, they get a total A. They get, like, an A++.
I don't think they made the I know I'd rather have three than one, but they didn't make the postseasons in the year they didn't.
Well, I'll sacrifice a couple of years at home early for a couple extra rings.
Tom and Lyle, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tom?
Hey, guys. I go with Black and Abdallah. He did a great job.
Hater.
But I think you got to consider, I don't look at it as a class. I look at it sort of as a GPA or over a career. And I mean, you have to consider things like drafting, pitching, developing pitching or recruiting pitching talent. And, maybe a solid B plus, but I don't think you can discount those deficiencies.
Like, so who gets an A in baseball? Like, if you're having a class, are you not handing out a baseball A from the last 9 years? Like, does Andrew Friedman get an A, but he hasn't won a World Series?
Yeah, they've been in two, right? But they haven't won it either. Isn't that correct?
So is Tom gone? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, who gets the A then? Like, who of his contemporaries of the 29 others get an A?
Listen, I think, again, criticism is fair. I'm not saying the criticism isn't fair, but you could be critical and not be perfect and still get an A.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Houston won one, right? But they cheated. Boston won one.
Maybe
a couple, but I think that was a different front office, too. Like, who gets an A over the 9 years?
The Giants. The Cardinals.
Do you give the Dodgers an A, even though they haven't won a World Series?
That's what I asked. Like, Andrew Friedman. I think you got to win it all to get an A, don't you?
That's something that Abdallah and I have talked about on the baseball show this year is when you look at the Dodgers and what they've done each and every year, dominating the National League West and always putting themselves in position to be the best team in the National League, trying to win a championship. They've yet to do so. When you look back, which one of these two teams, Dodgers or Cubs, have had the better last 10 years?
I'd rather have the ring.
Yeah, it's so, one right now.
Yeah, one.
And the Dodgers
one
can still win this year.
They could even
year.
It up, right.
And the moment the Dodgers do, they're the dominant team, right?
Of course. But not now. Not now. And, like, again, like you said, the Giants won three, but they weren't in a position each and every year to win it. Again, I will always take three over one, yes. But, again, if you're looking for consistency and champion and a championship, like, what did the Cardinals win over that span? One?
Cardinals won it in 2013.
Yes.
They won it in 2011 as well, but that's outside the scope. When did Theo get here? In 2012? Is that right?
No, I think 2011. Yeah.
Okay, 2011.
So that's the first year of this.
So the Cardinals have two. 2011 and 2013.
Yep.
The Giants won in 2010. They won in 2012. They won 2014.
I think you're also grading on a curve because of the drought. If the Cubs had won before Theo got there, if the Cubs had won in the 80s or in the 90s or the early 2000s,
it would be less significant.
How many men failed trying to do what he did?
No, that's why I'm saying you're grading on a curve. You're giving him points for ending a drought that other people couldn't do. If they had won something, you would have been like, okay, well, maybe they got one, but they also had one in the 90s and they had one in the 80s. And, this guy won one for them and this guy rebuilt this team. I think you're grading on a curve because of the drought.
I think some A's are better than other A's, too. I think that, I can give the Cardinals and I can give the Giants a 99 and still feel comfortable giving the Cubs a 93.
Listen, when I came home with an A in Spanish, it was better than an A in English. I already speak English.
Right.
Troy and Valpo, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Troy.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen?
We're good.
All right, so I agree with most of what you guys are saying, but you got to remember, in the early years, man, we sucked, and we did it for a reason.
and it was to be successful. We really only contended for 2 years, my man. That's it. Everything else has just been pretending, especially this year. This might even be the most disappointing year.
Well, wait, which years are you saying they contended?
The World Series and the next year. Everything else.
What about 15? I mean, look, they got swept.
They were 95 wins. I agree. I understand. They were 95 wins, but we were more of a sleeper at that point, an unknown quantity.
But they contended.
Yeah,
they
but
were
you
a
still
final
get credit
14.
For it.
Yeah, but it's not
the Cardinals.
Like, there was no way they're going to win. Yes, I agree. But there was no way that they are going to win that year. Okay, but we had two good years. We haven't been halfway decent since then.
Well, I
that's
mean, halfway.
It.
What's your measure of halfway decent? If winning
how
a division
many playoff
and
games that we really want? I mean, geez, it's horrible. We got beat by the Rockies in the wild card.
I mean, with you. I was furious about that, but they still have another division crown this year. Again, like I think I saw six division titles or playoff appearances, not division titles, Troy, in my lifetime before Theo got here. I've got five playoff appearances in the last 6 years. So the first 37 years of my life, I got to the postseason six times with my favorite baseball team.
And I agree with that. However, we were not getting any better. Actually, every year it was worse and worse, and to the point now where we only score one run against the freaking Marlins.
By the way, I misspoke. The Cardinals lost to the Red Sox in 2013. So the Cardinals won in 2011 but did not win in 13. That title was won by the Red Sox.
That's why I think that over – and they won a couple, the Red Sox, right? They won in 18 and 13?
Yes, that is correct.
So, I mean – and there may have been, I think, two different front offices. It may have been Ben Cherington back in 13, and then was it Duquette in 18? Like, again, they were two different run franchises.
Well, I hope you guys didn't have yourselves as graders when you were in college and high school.
I mean, listen, we want excellence.
The guys behind the glass
the
is like,
here.
The baseball standard is high.
Let me ask this question, guys.
I like the standard high.
Let me ask this question. 1980s Bears, what's the grade you give there?
Let's answer that coming up next. It's Waddle and Sylvie. 4 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped. The Lawnmower 3.0 is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Remembering Eddie Van Halen, who passed away at the age of 65 as well today. He's been battling cancer for many years. One of the greatest all-time guitarists ever. Shaped our childhood growing up. Junior high, high school. Waddle was...
Love the music.
Getting beer, going to parties, heading to dances, catching touchdowns.
Sweet ass. We were listening to Eddie Van Halen and Van Halen as we were getting set to go do what we did.
Putting the cassette in the big boom box. Were you a carrier of the big boom box?
No, but everything was done cassette-wise.
Yes, for sure.
You had the cool sound system, didn't you? Like the giant speakers. The bigger the speakers, the cooler you were.
Did you have that all hopped up in your car?
I did not, no. I drove an AMC Spirit, and I'm not even sure the radio worked in it.
Okay, all right.
So you did have to bring like a boombox if you want to listen to music.
Yeah, if you want a good sound.
Yeah.
James in New Lenox. James, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Sylvie, congrats on the good news the other day, too.
Appreciate it, James.
I agree with Black and Abdallah with a B. I think if you want to put them as an A because they won the World Series, got Arrieta, got Hendricks in trades, signed Lester and brought him over, brought Madden over. I think you could start there, but then you have to start deducting. You have to deduct the Hayward contract. you have to deduct the fact that you paid 3-1 for Chapman when he was just traded a few months prior to when you got him for 50 cents on the dollar. You have to take the Quintana trade into consideration. you have to take the fact that Joe went from Joe Cool, two shots and a beer, to I'm scared to let my pitchers pitch more than five or six innings unless they're named Arrieta. No faith in any relievers. You know, you got the situation that you're in with Brian Baez right now, not being under contract. When all these other teams like Houston and the Sox are locking their young guys up, why do you have a problem doing so?
James, let me ask you this question. You bring up all great points, but who then over this span, and Cap weighed in, it was Dave Dombrowski who won the last Red Sox championship. The one before that in 13 was Ben Cherington. So, like, those are two front offices. Who in the last 9 years, which front office would even get an A then?
Waddle brings a good point up with the Giants, even though it sounds like one of them wasn't in the Theo era. So they got two, and they pretty much did it with the same core. You know, if you have to give a team an A, and it's not the Giants, I mean, I know the Dodgers didn't win, but I think they've been the most dominant team in the National League, that being said. And I really think you have to maybe push them to an A with the fact that Houston cheated. If they don't cheat, I mean, that's seven games. The chances of them having cheated to win one of those games or just a play here or there, that probably really tilts it. So
would it make you guys feel better if it was an A minus? Would that make you feel better, or are you stuck on a B? B plus? Just a flat B?
I thought Abdallah sounded like he was coming around on the curve thing.
Flat B, guys? B plus? B minus?
For me?
Flat B?
No, it's a high B.
So B plus.
Like an 88 on a scale
89?
Of 100?
I see that.
So right. we're arguing semantics. I mean,
like, here's the thing.
The poll
thing
doesn't
is,
give pluses and minus. It's an A, I'm B, C, at, or D. Right. It's
I'm
a
asking,
B. He gives a B.
I'm asking you to have a nuanced conversation.
Right, and that's
sorry
why,
for asking too much.
Go at him. Go at him, Waddle. Get him.
No, I'm just saying. I'm sorry. We just had to.
I'm a man.
We're asking.
I'm 35.
We're asking for a little nuance with the conversation with regard to a plus or a minus.
Before we went to commercial break, I asked you guys, in the 1980s for the Chicago Bears, what's the grade there?
See, then, is it their results or is it their front, like what their front office did? Is it what Ditka did? Do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people criticize Ditka for making some of the decisions. Like, who is it? Like, to your question, another question, like, would you grade Bobby Cox as a B manager then?
Yeah,
he only won one.
The Atlanta Braves had all that success. They won one title. I don't think people look at it as an A+. And I think, Sylvie, the reason I bring up the 85 Bears is because the farther we get away from current time right now, I think you will start to look back at that 2016 championship as it's the 85 Bears.
Which is both good and bad, right?
Well, it's great. It was great for the one moment, yes, but in the moment, you expected
more.
You
wanted more, right. You didn't want the Redskins to beat you on your home field. You did not want the 49ers to come in on a really cold day and beat you.
As hard as it is to win a Schwarber are going to be hosting postgame shows here for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah, don't knock it, man. I mean, like, if the opportunity arrives, I mean, we all jump on those, right? Baseball show tonight from 6 to 8.
Yeah, with Schwarbs.
Maybe he'll join you weekly with Kyle Schwarber.
Maybe he'll join you. Listen, as hard as it is to win a title in any sport over the course of a decade. Meaning, when you couple
really
it with
tough to get better than this.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you this, Sylvie. The 10 years around the Cubs championship, a better 10 years around, better 10 years than the 10 years around the 2005 White Sox championship.
Wait. You're saying it was a better 10 years for the White Sox?
No, for the Cubs. The 10 years around their championship, it's a better 10 years. Than the Sox had around the 2005 championship.
True, right. Yeah. The Sox flashed
they were
that
more
one year
competitive
in the beginning of
06. For a longer extended period of time around the championship.
Like, you want to be in it with
you
a
want
to
start a
to
fight
the
with the two baseball fans, fan bases in town? Is that what we're trying to do?
Bring it up and fight. All right, so we're grading Theo. And a lot of people weighing in believe that if you don't give him an A, that you're an ungrateful fan. And then also the discussion about the Bears. We had a really good discussion about the Bears. We are guest-free in the 5 o'clock hour. We want to hear from you, 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 quick minutes.